morning. Today is Monday, December the 21st, 357th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, the bank dude.
Merry Christmas, Brian.
And to you, sir. Oh, you've got your Fitbit rest thing on.
Yeah, my wife bought me one of those for my birthday. Apparently, she decided I needed more exercise. So.
Yeah. I think Rudolph might have one on his neck for me, too. Coming around the corner. Oh, your quotes are?
Well, you know, I've got this book of quotes, and the book says 1,001 smartest things ever said. And I kept looking for your name in here.
Not even in the ownership plate on the front.
So, I mean, maybe 1,002 is where you hit. Okay. So this one is from a guy named Anonymous. Advice from your friends is like the weather. Some of it's good and some of it's bad.
Gee. Yeah, no kidding.
And my prediction is it will rain today.
Damien shaking his head and putting on his swim trunks. Yes. I've been kind of enjoying the fact that for folks that haven't been around long, that this seems like a tidal wave of weather. No. Stay tuned, boys and girls. This is going to be much more fun. There's no fog.
Boy, we ran in.
Well, there's somehow, I can't see. Yeah, we're located on the north end of Humboldt Bay.
Right.
I can't see the Neyland Valley. Now, that may be a really, really hard rain. We saw a bunch of fog coming up yesterday through northern Mendocino. Just laying low, right after Highway 1 south.
Really?
You know, you've got the trestle, the old trestle on the what would be the east side as you're going south. Fog, it was about 50 yards wide. But just as dense as it could be, and it just stretched from one side of the field of vision to the other. And there was clear on the other side.
Following the river?
Well, kind of, I guess, sort of, but through the gravel pit, too.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, and there were a series of those, so the temperature differentiations.
Well, I can remember when I first moved here in the 80s, it would be foggy every day, and if even in the summer. And some of the best weather was in January, strangely enough.
Always is, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but I can remember going, you know, months without seeing the sky or across the street. Anyway, global warming, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's getting us rain again. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the bump in the interest rate that happened, the Feds last week, but we've managed to procrastinate
until the break.
Filibuster. Yeah, I got about we got 30 seconds, so there's not a whole lot we can talk about other than is the timing of this in December, is it good, bad, or is it just is?
It is.
Okay.
That's a different answer.
Could have used a little bit more elaboration. Perhaps the spelling of the word might have given us just enough to make it there.
But we'll talk about what it means in a minute.
All right. And who makes those decisions?
There you go.
All right. You got the orchestra all teed up. Here we go. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mr. Dalby.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. I suppose the first thing we ought to do is congratulate St. Bernard's. You know, we both have had connections to the school over the years or decades.
Yeah, our boys both played basketball together there, and Nick played football. They weren't quite as good as they are now.
No, no. And they weren't when Ange went through either. Yeah. But, you know, it's certainly to have a state champion in the county is...
Yeah, that's incredible.
A first-timer. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, very
that's
cool.
Kinda
congratulations.
Cool, so. Yeah, now, did Garrick drive all the way down and all the way back?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't heard.
In a moving truck. we'll get an update on that one later on.
It'll be
on.
Hard for him to go down there in a truck that wasn't moving.
Good point.
Okay, sorry.
Good point.
Yeah.
It's right up there with a quote of the day, huh?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Is that a keeper or a thrower?
The radios are turning off as we speak.
So let's talk a little bit about the bump by the Fed with the interest rate. I don't know really. You know, in the past, we've talked about consumer loans and mm-hmm. long-term, short-term. What, as a starting point, what does this do? Mm-hmm. Where is it coming from? What rate is really being affected, and who's at risk?
Okay, so what it actually does mechanically is it increases the rate in which banks can borrow from the Federal Reserve, but it also increases the rate in which banks get paid for excess deposits at the Fed. So
it's a reimbursement rate also?
Well, it's a two-way. I mean, it's the Federal Reserve Bank, so they take deposits and they make loans. So you can borrow money from the Fed if you need cash, if you're a bank, and you can give them money if you have excess cash. So, for instance, we have been receiving 22 basis points for the last 7 years on our excess Federal Reserve funds.
So if you have an extra million, say, just because it's a round figure.
It goes in overnight into the Fed, and we get 22 basis points on that.
For as long as it's there, or for 1 day, or an hourly compilation? I mean, how does...
Well, you can put money in daily, back and forth daily, so, but it's calculated annually at a rate of 22 basis points. So that'd be 0.22%.
So you get a sandwich or two. And...
there isn't much there, yeah. And so earnings have been very poor for banks for quite a while because, or I say poor, been retarded a little bit because of the low interest rate. So now excess funds, we're getting, I think, almost 45 basis points. So, yay. who would have ever thought we'd get excited about that. So that's what actually happens. Now, the ripple effect is that the prime rates that banks charge generally will mirror the changes in the Federal Reserve. So most likely we're going to see a Wall Street Journal prime, which is the index for most consumer loans, will bump up by 0.25% from 3.25% to 3.5%.
Across the board? Is that pretty much, it just kind of gets an add-on, kind of like sales tax?
Well, it's an indice that is outside of the in consumer loans, the index that you use has to be outside the control of the bank that's making the loan, okay?
But, that makes sense. I got that one.
Okay. So, but in commercial, it's not that way. It's the other way around. The bank actually has control of that rate. But let's talk about the consumer. So once the Wall Street Journal prime goes up by... up to 3.5 is what we're speculating will happen, is then all consumer loans tied to that indice will go up by that 0.25%, depending on what their contract was. The ones that get impacted the most generally are home equity loans or lines of credit, which are tied to Wall Street Journal prime.
And the Wall Street Journal prime is different than this prime?
Every bank has its own prime rate. So Bank of America has one, Wells Fargo has one, and for competitive purposes, they're generally very close or the same as Wall Street Journal Prime. But technically, a bank could have a prime rate of 10% today.
Probably not really be busy, however.
They would have plenty of time.
Yeah. Now, consumer credit of all sorts and sizes tends to be... tied if you've got a variable note?
If it's variable, it's generally tied to Wall Street Journal Prime. Mortgages might be tied to a 10-year treasury, constant maturity treasury. There's different indices for different types of loans. But for the most part, home equity loans are tied to the short-term rates and lines of credit. And so Wall Street Journal Prime is the predominant rate indice for that.
Commercial paper is treated differently, though?
Commercial can be tied to Wall Street Journal Prime or the bank's own prime rate. And generally, don't use the word prime anymore. You'll generally see a bank call it the reference rate.
Oh, not USDA.
Well, the reason being is prime just has a connotation that if you're not borrowing at that rate, you're not a prime customer. And that's not the purpose of it. So that language changed a long time ago. So even though it's still Wall Street Journal Prime, most banks have what they call a reference rate.
Which is the primary.
Right. So, but put this in perspective, in which we will do after the break.
Smooth as silk. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby. Talk Shop presented by Redeck and CDH Painting. John, before the break, you had indicated that there was need to kind of put a rising prime in perspective. And you reflected it's been 7 years since there's been a move. Now there's starting to be a movement, and you hear the talkers talking about why, and I don't trust them to know, because the things that they talk about don't seem to be making sense. Oh, there's pressures on the workforce for raises, but at the same time you hear fewer and fewer companies are giving Christmas bonuses. Okay, really? I mean, trying to figure out some of those dichotomies, and then you throw this into the equation and rely on the government for knowledge of what's going on in the marketplace. It's kind of scary.
Okay. So let's put the Federal Reserve Board's rates in perspective. Now, prior to the Great Recession, the floor of those rates was 1%, meaning that, you know, that was considered the absolute bottom rate would be 1%. And so what happened when the recession hit is that they dropped the rates. Now, why do they raise and lower rates? I mean, that's another question. Is they're trying to control the economy and to some degree. And so when the economy gets really, really hot and they're worried about inflation, they raise the rates to slow the economy. And when the economy slows down, they lower the rates to try and stimulate it.
So having a booming economy is not seen as a positive?
Overheating it and getting too much inflation, so they don't want inflation. So that's why they target 2% inflation rate. Okay, so I'm not telling you that it's the right thing. It's what they have done historically. So when the recession hit and with the administration's policy, economic policies, not only did they have to lower the rates down to 1%, but they went down below that floor to zero. Zero to 25 is basis points, what they call it, but it went to zero. So taking it below 1% is absolutely unprecedented. That wasn't enough to stimulate the economy. So then they started what they call quantitative easing, which is a really fancy name for the printing of money. And they did three rounds of this, QE1, QE2, and QE3. In essence, they've
Which wouldn't that trigger inflation in most scenarios?
It should. One would think it would. Now, there's some reasons why it hasn't. But in essence, they've tripled the money supply. So those are the things that they've done trying to stimulate the economy, yet we've had a very anemic recovery at best. So why are they raising rates now? Well, you can't push, you know, if you've had your foot on the floor, to use a metaphor of an automobile, you can't stimulate that engine any more than pushing the gas pedal all the way to the floor. So by pulling it up a little bit, then at some point in the future they can stimulate it again if they had to.
So they're developing wiggle room.
Exactly. And at the same time, they're doing that within the parameters of saying that the two big things they look at is employment and inflation. And so they're seeing signs of an improving economy, and so they're starting to raise it. Now, keep in mind, we're going up to 0.25%. When we get to 1%, we're at what used to be the absolute bottom. So we're still in a position where we're stimulating the economy with interest rates. Now, these are short-term rates. Long-term rates are a completely different animal.
And those weren't adjusted or affected by what occurred last week?
Those are market rates. So the Fed really doesn't control long-term rates. Now, there is a tie to them, but it's not direct, meaning if short-term rates go up by 0.25%, doesn't mean that 30-year mortgages go up by 0.25%. It may go up, may not go up. It may go up by more than 0.25%, may go up 0.25%, but they're not totally related.
Just they're independent, but kind of indicators back and forth?
Correct.
Because
generally, they move in the same direction, but there's an elasticity there.
Because they're using the same set of facts or reference points as the key determinants?
Well, stop and think about this. If overnight I can get 25 basis points, but if I invest for 30 years, I can get 3%. So there's a substantial increase in my return if I go long term in my investment. Okay, and mortgages are tied to those rates, to what investors are willing to pay or willing to receive.
So it's not the time value of money.
There is a time value of money, and that's what you call the yield curve, and that's why you get a higher rate for longer terms. But in a rising rate environment like we're in, people become hesitant to lock in long term because they think rates are going to go up.
Well,
so it becomes interesting. Point being is that
There's a decision now.
Right. There's no guarantee that mortgage rates will increase by the same amount.
You mentioned that inflation and employment were the two key areas of monitoring for the Fed. Okay. With the redefinition of employment that's been going on over the past years, is inflation a higher? Does it carry more influence than employment does because you can't trend it the same way?
You know, I don't know how they weight those things, but their statements give you the two criteria before they would raise rates. And one is employment and the other is inflation. So if inflation were to go, you know, rampant, they might increase rates to slow it down.
Now, my basic understanding of economics was supply and demand. So if the demand is starting to go, and price was the byproduct of those two, you know, where you were on the curve. So why not increase supply?
Supply of what?
Whatever the products are that are causing the inflation. If it's cars, wouldn't you think more cars would be made? Or if it was corn, that there would be more corn purchased.
So you're saying control inflation on a micro basis as opposed to a macro basis.
Right. Particularly if one of your two key figures, let's just be kind and say cattywampus.
Well, obviously one of the biggest issues in inflation right now is oil prices. Because oil is down so much that, you know, transportation is cheaper and so it across the board has reduced the costs.
Right, so it's offsetting whatever raises might be happening, like tuition and things along those lines.
Right, so, you know, I'm assuming the Fed looks at all of those things, and, you know, they're not stupid people. These are some of the brightest economic minds there are.
Are they government appointed?
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48, final couple minutes this morning with John Dalby. John, before the break, we talked a little bit about the short-term and commercial and the rates and the impact of the Fed fund. Who is the Federal Reserve? Who are they? Where are the Board of Governors come from? Where are these people?
The Federal Reserve Bank is kind of the bank for banks, if you want to call it that. They have multiple functions. They have various regions. Each one of those regions has its own board. So there's one in San Francisco.
have you gone down there before?
Yes, I've actually been there.
Is it awe-inspiring? I mean, it's like a federal building.
It's a big federal building. It has some offices, and then the basement is their giant vault. That's where all the
money?
The money goes, yeah. So when we ship money to the Fed, we ship it there.
Okay.
So yeah, they have a lot of cash. That's where all the counterfeit bills go, and that's where so there's a lot of currency that's handled there, and then of course in the various presidents of each of those or governors of each of those, then some of those are used to create the Federal Reserve Board that makes the monetary policy for the country.
So it is an arm of the federal, I guess it would be the executive branch, huh?
I believe they're theoretically independent.
Oh, so they're a sucker root that's springing up from the tree?
It's
instead of
theoretically
the
independent.
Judicial, okay.
Yeah.
Huh, but the individuals are appointees?
I believe so.
Boy, there's a lot of belief going on. But you know,
yeah. Well, I'm not
this is the week
on it.
For believing. Yeah. So that's okay. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.